Hello and welcome back to another episode of Vikings Happy Hour, sponsored by Lake Monster Brewing, Eastside Jiu-Jitsu, and That's Badass Wood Art. The Vikings unfortunately lost 20-17 in their home opener yesterday, Miles. And I don't know about how you feel. I haven't talked to you since this game kind of concluded, but I guess I'm not super concerned with the loss. Obviously, you have to beat those teams. But it seems more self-inflicted. And I also think maybe we overlooked the Bucs a little bit. I think we often forget a lot of these guys were championship content or on that championship roster, especially when you look at the defensive side of the ball with Lavonte David, with Devin White. There's a bunch of Shaquille Barrett, all those kind of guys. So just let's get your first thoughts on the game, and then we can kind of segue into some different topics.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard week one to kind of go into a panic mode. It's hard to, you know, one game, first game of the season. But I think the one thing that's obvious, I don't blame Kevin O'Connell for sitting starters during the preseason. I think that's a smart approach. I think the healthier you could be heading into the season, the better. And as long as you're getting those guys reps during practice and, you know, obviously the scrimmages and things. But you could tell that there was some rust to start the game, especially on offense. I thought there'd be a little bit more, I thought there'd be a little bit more just like true cohesion going on to start the game just with this offense, because this is year two of Kevin O'Connell. Like, Kirk Cousins has talked about being way more comfortable. I just thought there'd be a little bit more like things cleaned up. But clearly, like, the defense and the Bucs is something that we probably overlooked and probably didn't talk enough about, because they do have good players. And I just think that they came out a little rusty, because you saw as the game went on, especially in the middle parts of the game, the Vikings offense was rolling. They were, you know, making plays. They're like explosive plays with Justin Jefferson. TJ Hockenson was getting the mix. Even Josh Oliver was getting involved. And then obviously like the Jordan Addison touchdown, like those things, like there's a lot of those really good things happening on offense. But I think the margins for this team, as we've talked about, just they're so razor thin. Like, you can't make mistakes. I think the one
which
thing
mistake
that I
are you talking about?
Right. Well, I mean, you got three turnovers in the first half.
Have you ever seen someone punch the ball out like a guard?
Not in that capacity. I think the alignment, I think the biggest issue there, and I think who was it? Luke Braun did a really great job breaking this down on Twitter or X, whatever people are calling it. I'm calling it Twitter. Luke Braun did a great job from Lockdown Vikings did a great job of just like breaking down a little bit of that situation where it's one of those, I know it's easy to throw Ed Ingram as a punching bag because he did not play well yesterday.
Yeah.
And that play obviously was a big one. But it looked like it was just like a bad timing situation. His alignment might've been a little bit further back than it might normally be. And maybe that's an indicator that he's shifting and moving, you know, he wasn't pulling, but he was obviously working left and reaching left to get to the left side of the line off the snap and quickly. And he got off the ball really quickly, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think the timing just was, because he's taught to rip through as you're working through to that reach block.
He certainly did.
And he certainly did, because the timing just ended up being right at when the ball was coming out from Kirk from the center exchange. And so I, as much as I want to blame Ed Ingram for that, I think it's just bad timing more than it was like Ed Ingram being inept. Now there are other situations within the game that Ed Ingram did not play well. Made a lot of mistakes. So I'm not going to like sit here and like defend Ed Ingram from that game. But I think that play in itself was just like literally just bad luck. More than anything.
And I mean, you could even say the interception too by Kirk Cousins was kind of unlucky as well. Now, he did throw, we were just talking about it in our group chat before this, but Kirk could have maybe put that ball a little bit more on the money. I think it was just a tad behind him and just kind of allowed that cornerback to come in and snatch that ball, much like Cam Dantzler did to Amir Smith-Marset the other year. More of a culmination of just errors that just seem more like one-offs and not repeatable things. Because again, I think the offense was moving pretty well for most of the game.
In the pass game.
Yes, in the pass game. And so we can get to that too. They invested a lot of money in Josh Oliver to come help this run game, and the team got 41 rushing yards yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't even think what was Madison's clip?
It was like 2 points.
Did get 3-1.
Was that 3-1? It ended up being 3-1. Oh, yeah, because Ty Chandler had some rushes in there too, obviously.
Yeah, for 0 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, the pass game was moving. I mean, yeah. I think Jefferson obviously continued to show his dominance. It was nice to see Jordan Addison kind of show out and take advantage of some of those opportunities when Jefferson's really taken a lot of the attention away. But, yeah, what were your thoughts on the offense outside of the offensive line?
Well, I think the difference between this year and last year is, like, the Vikings in some of these situations, like that Kirk Cousins interception. Last year, that ball probably doesn't get picked off. It probably either KJ like will catch it or just like falls incomplete. Like those are the small little I don't like to call them luck, but like essentially like luck plays where like sometimes some of those plays would go the Vikings way where like you're either catching a crazy touchdown or it just falls incomplete and you're avoiding the negative play. And a lot of that happened last year for the Vikings. They somehow found ways to avoid the negative plays like by luck or just chance or, you know, those types of things. Whereas yesterday, some of those bad plays came and they weren't able to overcome them or they didn't get luck wasn't on their side yesterday. And so those things are hard to like quantify, but they're also, you know, you can't predict those things. Like those are things like you said, self-inflicted. Those are things you can clean up though. But things also happen in games. So the one thing I hate to use is like the three turnovers were huge in the game because they did swing the point differential, but they still had a tie game heading into halftime. And they didn't turn the ball. I know they only had three drives in the second half, but you didn't turn the ball over after that. And so I think the issue for me is when you combination of the run game and then the lack of obviously O-line blocking and pass pro, it didn't come together the way you'd like it to yesterday. You know, the run game, the Vikings, especially this new Vikings revamped offense under Kevin O'Connell, they want to use the run game to set up everything else. But like to set up, whereas like the pass, they're going to be a pass first team. That's just what they are. But they want to still be able to run the ball efficiently. But we're not running the ball efficiently. It puts even more pressure on your quarterback, on the O-line and pass pro. And in an offense that wants to be more multiple with 12 and 21 personnel, you know, having two tight ends, a fullback in there. We saw a lot of CJ Ham in pass pro situations because they needed that guy back there to help protect more than you would like them to need that. And so I think those are some of the areas that we didn't see them improve yesterday from some areas that you'd like them to improve, because you did bring in a Josh Oliver to help in not just the run game, but to help in pass pro. And to be another guy that can threaten a defense when you're in that 12 and 21 personnel. And so I think where I struggled is they just didn't find that efficiency, especially in the run game, to help. Like the play action is always going to be there. You don't have to be a good running football team to be good at play action, but you have to be a good running team for it to matter.
Teams to even respect it.
Yeah, but like play action in itself, you don't have to be a good running team to be good at play action, but you need to be a good running team to help in those second and third down situations. You don't want to be in second and long, third and long situations. And if you can't run the ball in early downs and like second down, like you would like to be able to run the ball on second and six or a second and eight, those types of things, rather than always having to need to pass because you set yourself behind the sticks because it's, you know, second or third and nine and 10. And those types of things. And so you want to have more options for yourself in those situations. And I just don't think they did that for themselves yesterday. But then real quick, just wanted to get to the end point that I wanted to get to with the offense was what we saw last year that I really struggled with was the first and third quarters really seemed to be a little bit more of a struggle, whereas they couldn't find sustained drives. Whereas that like second and fourth quarters, they were really doing well. And that's where you saw the comebacks happen in the fourth quarter. But if you're better in those first and third quarters, you don't need to be the comeback kings in the fourth quarter all the time. And in the third quarter, if you're not getting sustained drives, you're putting yourself behind the eight ball. And then you're putting yourself into situations because you might be limited in drives, the amount of drives you get in the second half. The first half, you don't have to it's not as big of a deal. Like you want to sustain drives and score obviously all the time. But if you can't do it in the second half, a team like the Bucks, even in poor, they were bad on the ground too, but they still were finding ways to get three, four yards at a time when they needed to in that second half. And they kept us off the field on offense. And so those areas I really would love to see Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings just improve how they're being more efficient in those first and third quarter situations.
Yeah, we'll spend some more time to – I mean, this is only Monday, so we got a little bit more time to look back at the game film, and we'll break that down a little bit more maybe on Wednesday's show. But before we switch to the defensive side of the ball, want to give a quick shout-out to Vikes Insider. If you don't follow them on Twitter, on Instagram, just a great source to get some of your Vikings news. So just want to give that a shout-out, and make sure you hit like and subscribe to the YouTube channel here. So we can continue to grow and give away a Lake Monster hat at 3,100 followers. But let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball. I know somebody that you had called out specifically, actually a group in general on our show last Wednesday, was the cornerbacks versus these wide receivers. I think they did all right. I think they did all right.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see that Andrew Booth didn't get any defensive snaps. Along with Lewisine, but we'll keep the safety group out of here. When we talk about the cornerback group itself, Byron Murphy, Caleb Evans, Mekhi Blackmon, they played really, really well. And I saw Josh Metellus kind of rotate down there quite a bit as well. But what were your overall thoughts? I know Caleb Evans was the guy you called out specifically, but just overall thoughts on the cornerback group.
He got tested, but he held up well. And I think that's the impressive part for me. Like, yes. Obviously, was it – I can't remember the tight end. It was a Kokeef or Kate Otten. Whichever one it was between the Bucks tight ends, Baker put a great throw on, like, just a quick seam to the tight end. And a Caleb – I thought it was an easy completion, you know, chunk play. And a Caleb Evans comes in and makes the hit and gets the – and jars the ball out. Like, those types of plays, like, sometimes a guy might have a chance to catch the ball, but if you can get there and get your hat on the ball, like, those types of plays are huge. Like, yeah. those change drives. Those – that helps get a defense off the field making those plays. And I thought that was really impressive. I thought he held up well in some of the shots that they took with Mike Evans on the outside to him. One of the plays might have been PI on Caleb Evans, but they didn't call it. So, like, I was like, hey, you know, chalk it up to the game. Let him play. Sometimes they're not going to call those things. And I'm fine with that. Right? Like, you need some of those things to go your way. But I thought he held up really well and he looked comfortable. And I think he tackled well. And he was just aggressive. And I thought the cornerback group as a whole felt like they were aggressive. Now, of course, they gave up some chunk plays toward the end there. And I think there was some minor communications issues we might have seen, especially on some pass offs, like that touchdown to Mike Evans. I think the pass off situation, I think Metellus might have got caught peeking a little bit, you know, in those types of situations. So some of those miscommunications, they got to clean those up, because you can't give a big, you know, was it like a 33 yard touchdown, whatever the touchdown was, like 30 plus yards. Like, you can't give those up. But at the same time, I think as a whole game one, I thought they did a really good job against Chris Godwin and Mike Evans led receiving group. And so I thought, besides some small communications issues, I thought they played aggressive. I thought they played smart. And I just thought overall they did as best as you would hope for them to against this team.
Yeah. And I know some people were down on even the, this is switching from the corners here, but I know some people were down on the defensive line and kind of the run game yesterday. I saw a few things out there, but I thought the defensive line for the run played it pretty well. I mean, they only really averaged, I think they only got like 70 yards rushing.
Yeah.
On like,
and they had,
20 something attempts, maybe even be 30 attempts. But what frustrated me a little bit was, we should be able to get to Baker a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I know he's known for improvising and kind of just being a gunslinger out there, but there's a few moments where it's just like, we have to do a better job of wrangling him in. And it's only going to get harder versus Jalen Hurts on Wednesday, who's way more mobile than Baker Mayfield and can actually hurt you in the pass instead of just scrambling for a first down kind of thing. So I think the defensive line, I was fine with it, especially considering, you know, they were down Marcus Davenport. I thought Danielle Hunter looked really well. I thought Harrison Phillips did a really good job as well, kind of showing his presence. And we even saw guys like Patrick Jones make a few splash plays in Whitley. Was it Whitley? Mm-hmm. Is that the guy I was thinking of? Yeah. So I don't know. I feel optimistic about this defense, but again, it's what you kind of mentioned early in the show. The margin for error is so small, and you just dropped a very winnable game at home.
Yep.
And then you have to turn around and go play Philly. Like, and then the Chargers come to town. Like, I don't want to push the panic button here, but like, there's a good chance this team starts out 0-3. And if they do, it is going to be hell with this fan base.
I think we'll see them clean things up. The sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad on a short week after a loss like this, where like, instead of dwelling, you don't have time to dwell on the game. You just have to turn around and play.
Yep.
But like you said, the tough part is you have to go and play the Philadelphia Eagles at home on Thursday night. You know, they were in the Super Bowl last year. They're really good. One of the better rosters in the league. But the Patriots played them well yesterday. Yeah. I know the weather was a little bit different, so that might've played a factor, but like at the same time, it still gives the Vikings have a chance to win that game. It's not like mm-hmm. they're dead in the water, but to your point, they can't make the mistakes that they made on Sunday if they want to even have a chance to beat the Eagles, because the Eagles are way too good of a roster and they'll take advantage of the Vikings in those areas that the Bucs couldn't yesterday. And so I think, and to your point, I think I saw the Vikings blitzed on like 47% of dropbacks, something like that. It was like in the 40 range. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it was in the 40s, which we expected more blitzing from Brian Flores, which is a good thing. But when you play a team like the Eagles and you blitz, they usually are do a better job of taking advantage of you blitzing and making you pay for them. So mm-hmm. against a team like the Eagles, when they have a rushing quarterback like that, you need to be able to get home with your front four or five. You can't solely rely on blitzing to make that work, because the Eagles do have more of a true dual threat in their offense than the Bucs did. And the Bucs did a good job of exploiting some of those small areas at times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you'd want to show that you can get home, especially since that Bucs offensive line isn't very good either. So I was a little disappointed in that, but I do think the run game, I was more impressed with like Harrison Phillips. I thought he looked really good yesterday. I thought
he did.
He made penetration. He, you know, shed blocks. You know, he looked strong out there. And I think him and even Bullard made some splash plays that you'd like to see from your interior defensive line. And so I was impressed by them. And then friend of the show, I know we were talking D-line and rush game, but I thought Josh Metellus looked – he was all over the field.
Everywhere.
His first full full-time like opportunity on
shout
defense.
Out on the contract extension, by
and
the way.
Yeah, shout out on the contract extension. Good for him. Really happy for him. But – you saw 44 all over the field on defense. And I thought he, besides some communication issues, like on the touchdown to Mike Evans, I still think he was a really impactful player on the defense.
Yep.
And I think the Vikings fans got to really see why the Vikings and Brian Flores really excited about him in that star role. Cause he played linebacker, he played nickel. He kind of shifted all over the field, played safety, deep safety a little bit. And so I think, you know, having a guy like that is going to go a long way defense continues to blend together and gel.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I was just looking quick how many snaps he took, and he was up there. I mean, 57 out of 68 snaps.
That's a lot. So that means they were a lot less base. And I think the Viking, I don't know if we'd call that their true base defense now. Yeah, it'll probably depend on the team. But when you're playing a team like the Bucs, who ran a lot of 12 personnel, and that's your base defense, and you hold up against the run really well, that's a good thing. Like,
yeah,
I think that those are positives to take away from a game like this, where if Josh Metellus is your like linebacker in base defense and you can still hold teams to sub 100 rushing yards, that's a good thing. And so that's a positive for me in that. But the errors, you got to be more efficient. You have to be a team that there's a lot more, you have to take advantage of situations like what some of the Vikings had yesterday. And you can't just rely on fourth quarter comebacks all the time. You have to be better in the third quarters of games to make sure that you're not in a position to always need to come from behind or needing your defense to make a late end stop or always needing to drive down the field late. Those types of things. When you put yourself behind the eight ball, like you can't have 11 winning one score games like they did last year. Like that's just not feasible. And we even talked about it last year. Like it wasn't sustainable. It wasn't sustainable at all. We obviously saw it in the playoffs, but like in general, that's just not a model. I know they don't want to do those things, but like you saw yesterday, even against the Tampa Bay Bucs team, you you know, teams aren't going to let you get away with it like they did the way they did last year.
I think the only thing it gives you is the fact that your team maybe believes a little bit more that you could do it.
But and there was some of that.
Should do it.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And there was some of that as I was watching the game, like, oh, man, like, I know it's close, but I still think the Vikings are going to come away with it just because, you know, the offense has been good. You obviously have Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson look good. Jordan Addison as a rookie, his first game as a Viking, he had a big impact. Like, I just think there was a lot of those things that felt like they were trending. Ah, man, the Vikings are going to pull us out late. Like, that's just what it felt like. And to not do that, I still think they have confidence in the offense. But for me, I was more impressed by the defense. Just because the defense isn't supposed to be good. The defense is supposed to be average to slightly below average at best. And for them to hold any team to 20 points or less is big, especially since they didn't have the luxury of they had to play on short fields with the turnovers. They had to be on the field more because of turnovers and because the offense couldn't sustain drives. So I thought overall they played like you'd like to see a defense play for a team that's supposed to be an offensive, not juggernaut, but like above average to a top 10 offense. So
yes. Yeah. I think in most circumstances this season, holding your opponent to 20 points should be enough.
Especially for this offense. And this off, 100%.
Yeah, and this offense. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But anything else you got for this show? Otherwise, we got another show on Wednesday. We'll get to talk a little bit more in detail once we go back and look at some things and so forth.
No, I don't like to stay negative after a game because there are a lot of positives to take out of yesterday. But to your point, you kind of mentioned yesterday what the schedule looks like for this team. You have to come out swinging on Thursday. And you can't. You have to be aggressive. You have to take chances. You have to, you know, you have to be willing to like go for broke. Essentially, like I hate calling early games must win, but this team is in a situation where they can't. The margins for error, like I said at the top of the show, are razor thin. And when you play good teams, because I can't call the Bucks a good team, but when you play good teams, you have even less of those margins for error. And so you have to go out. And play that aggressive style. And you can't have the communications issues. You have to be better up front on both sides, but especially on the offensive line. You have to protect your quarterback. Kirk's taking too many hits still. Like those types of things, they need to be better because this Eagles team will not let you get away with it the way the Bucs did yesterday.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. So we'll break more of it down later this week on our Wednesday show. We'll be back live Wednesday night at 7:00. Until next time, let's go Vikes.